Africa is a continent of hundreds of ethnic groups and cultures and languages, often divided by conflict, but just as often united by a deep attachment to religious faith and spiritual values. It is said that religion, to Africans, is the normal way of looking at the world and experiencing life. Today we begin a weekly series on religion in Africa. In our first report, we go to Sierra Leone, on the western coast of the continent, for a look at Islam. Islam first arrived in Africa an estimated 1,300 years ago, when the king of Abyssinia granted refuge to followers of Muhammad. The religion has been thriving on the continent ever since. One in four Africans practices Islam, but many say that Africa has changed Islam as much as Islam has changed Africa. NPR's Jennifer Ludden has this report.
To walk around Sierra Leone's capital, Freetown, with religion in mind is to be easily misled. Amid a tight sprawl of concrete and clapboard buildings, what stand out are the structures left by British colonizers, whitewashed government offices, three-decker shuttered homes, and many, many churches. The square wooden steeples are testament to the British Protestants and their freed slaves who settled here 200 years ago. What they hide is the fact that Islam arrived here more than a century before that. Most Sierra Leoneans, more than half, are Muslim, yet no minarets dominate the skyline. No call to prayer beckons from a loudspeaker. On the open wooden door of this tiny tailor's shop, it's easy to miss the crinkled poster of the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Now for the Islam, where he left the Islam, because he left the Islam.
Ibrahim interrupts his sewing to explain in Creole, a local patois, that the picture is there because the Ayatollah loves Islam just as he does. He draws no other parallels with the Iranian leader, and when asked about Christianity, says many of his friends and clients are Christian. It's an openness echoed in the city's mosques. On a concrete platform, men up front and women in back sit in rows on blankets and straw mats as they recite Friday prayers. To the side, sandals and umbrellas are left piled at the entrance steps. Fans whir against the sticky heat of an oncoming shower. The speaker exhorts the crowd that whatever your vocation, you preach. This is the cherished Islamic doctrine Dawah that compels Muslims to constantly seek converts. Yet it's a doctrine carried out with tolerance, according to the imam here, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Mujtaba, who explains with a Quranic verse.
Lakum dinikum waliyadin. For you, your religion, and for me, my own religion. If I can convince you to take my own belief, then I succeed in doing so. But if you want to continue your own belief, you should do so.
After prayers, the sheikh invites visitors into a small room where all sit on the floor and his two wives offer Coca-Cola. Africa, Mujtaba says, is fertile ground for conversion.
An African is created in a wonderful way. In a wonderful way, we have a lot of flexibility in ourselves. It's not like the Hindus. You find that Hindu cannot easily convert to another religion. But an African can be Christian, he can be Muslim, he can be something else, so long as he is convinced to follow the right path.
This flexibility is an essential part of Islam in Africa. There are no high-profile hardliners among Sierra Leone's Muslims or across the region. There are no serious calls for an Islamic state. There is no rage or anger. The reason, Muslims say, is their shared history with other religions. Al-Hajja Fatmata Kanu is a devout Muslim who's journeyed to Mecca. And like tens of thousands of Sierra Leone's Muslims, she spent her childhood in Catholic schools.
Because this school is a Christian school, you were not exempted in my days from doing anything that is Christian.
Did you say prayers like the Our Father and Hail Mary?
Yes, of course.
Can you still remember them?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So I can say it still. Yes. It's like a role play. You have to play, you know, the game when you are there. And when you are out, you are Muslim again.
But Muslim with a difference. As we talk, Kanu's teenage daughter bounds out the door in short skirt and bare head. Veils, Kanu says, are optional. So are other things. Muslims here admit with a smile that the sale of beer drops drastically during the holy month of Ramadan, and dancing is fast and furious at Muslim baptismal parties. Such acts may be punishable by beating in other parts of the Islamic world, but here even imams dismiss them as not an issue, and they defend Africans' right to practice their religion as they see fit. Back at the Argyle Street Mosque, the women in bright African print dresses and colorful headscarves join their voices with the men. Singing in mosques at all is unusual, let alone to a distinct African beat. Islam may be more than 1,000 years old, but in Africa there are more ancient customs and beliefs. In this crowd, many may think their prayers are being carried to Allah by ancestor spirits. For some, the Quran may be best understood as holding the same power as the words of a medicine man. Gustave Devineau, who teaches history at Fora Bay College in Freetown, says many Africans' first attachment is to tradition.
So it's easier, for example, for them to say, I'm Muslim, when indeed they may not be Muslim. But people are going to the mosque, they're going to the church, they're going to their juju men as well. Though I think you wouldn't like to be caught.
In the past, some have linked such apparent transgressions to Africa's lack of a written culture. Rules are more likely to be created and followed, goes the reasoning, if they are committed to paper. But Islam does have written rules, and there are efforts to help Africans understand that. In a white sweatshirt and blue jeans, Dermi Abdul Ahmad reads from the Quran.
The Lord Almighty Allah says, whom among you, male or female, do good deeds, and he or she is a believer, فَلَنُحَيَّنَّهُ حَيَاتًا طَيِّبَةً. We may restore in him or her a nice life, that's a good life.
25-year-old Dermi is a recent graduate of Freetown's Islamic Studies Center. It's part of an increasing missionary effort from several countries in the Middle East. This school is funded with money from Iran and is promoting a stricter version of Islam. Young boys are recruited in villages and receive free books, tuition, and room and board. Dermi and his friends insist the Islam practiced in Africa is the same as elsewhere. Yet even in doing so, Dermi reasons away differences.
Islam is a universal religion, as we do understand. Only that I do believe that you see certain things which is puzzling you. For example, in the Middle East, the women do wear this veil, not so? But why is it not practiced in Africa today? It's because of poverty. The husband alone cannot be sufficient to find what is enough for the family. The woman too has to go out, and by wearing the veil cannot allow you to be so active in working.
In their enthusiasm, Dermi and other students envision an eventual Islamic state. Yet their teacher admits Sierra Leone is not about to undergo a revolution. What's more, Ibrahim Sori Bangura, a man well-versed in the laws of the Quran, commends the country's pragmatic approach to Islam. He says Islam here has been tempered by Western culture and ignores aspects the West considers harsh.
If you are caught stealing, according to Islamic law, the amputation of the hand. But here now, because we practice Western method, instead you go in for jail terms if you are found guilty.
Bangura sees a benefit of such picking and choosing of beliefs in peaceful relations. Aside from pockets of strife, as in northern Nigeria, sub-Saharan Africa is largely free of religious conflict. In Sierra Leone, he points out, religion just doesn't play into politics. The fact that the president elected this year is the first Muslim to hold the post is nothing more than coincidence. Irrelevant, too, is the fact that his wife is Christian. Mixed marriages are common. It's an accommodation that leaders of all religions here say they're proud of. But some also see a potential threat, one coming from an unexpected place, the United States.
Now, I want to ask you a question. How do you see yourself? Are you excited about serving Jesus? Are you bummed out and depressed? Are you on fire?
Christian evangelism carried through the airwaves by Jimmy Swaggart, Pat Robertson, and scores of lesser-known preachers is pulling in converts by the thousands. Analyst Devino says the messages can be aggressive, and they're attracting Muslims as well as Christians.
We've had tensions in our society, economic problems. People are finding it hard to cope, and they want to have some message of salvation. And some of these radical wings interpret the Bible in a simple way and present it in a way which people can understand and relate to better. Now, if you take the same, is true of the Islamic sects. There are more of them now, radical wings, and incidentally, they encounter as much opposition from the established Muslim sects as well as from Christian sects.
Seated on a terrace, shielded from a late afternoon downpour, Abby Mansaray talks about how she left her Muslim faith and is now a Baptist. As her husband looks on with a dour but resigned expression, Mansaray says she's accepted Christ as her personal savior.
I've all washed myself, all the bad things out, and now I'm trying to follow the good things that God wants us to do.
Mrs. Mansaray says she was converted by her 24-year-old son, Hassan, and is now working to win over the rest of the family.
I'm just trying to enlighten the smaller ones to let us be the same. Let us all become Christian. But it's not easy at that because my husband, he didn't like that at all.
Elsewhere in the Muslim world, Mrs. Mansaray would be considered a traitor to Islam and risk death as punishment for her conversion. The Mansarays admit husband and wife have had much palaver or quarrels over the household's religious divisions, but they're confident they'll survive intact this potential threat to their harmony. It is, according to one man, the meaning behind the East African Swahili word, Muntu, which means personhood. A person may change faith, but the essence of who he is remains the same. For UNS Jah, a Muslim leader and an assistant minister in Sierra Leone's government, it's a good perspective for a nation.
Our main concern is the human factor. The human factor whereby we sit together like one people to look at our state, to look at our country, to look at our destiny, and in terms of a total spirit, be able to develop it. The question of religion could be secondary. It is the finest aspect of our civilization.
It is something these Africans say they can teach the rest of the world. I'm Jennifer Ludden reporting.